Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we are both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Welcome to the episode.
Shame because it's a big one.
Yeah, it's our second TWW episode ever, and it's me in the spotlight this time.
Listeners, this is a trigger warning.
Yeah.
If you do not want to hear somebody get the results of a pregnancy test,
don't listen to this episode.
Do not listen to this episode.
Because that's what happens.
That's what's going to happen, and it's going to be like you're standing in a kind of Wild West saloon bar and everybody's pointing their triggers at you.
Yeah, it's pretty emotional.
Yeah.
I would suggest.
Yeah.
So yeah, consider yourselves warned. If you're not feeling particularly robust, don't listen.
Do not listen. We will not be offended.
Absolutely no way. Offended at all.
No.
But yeah, so obviously I had my 2 week wait and did a little audio diary. So that's there for your listening pleasure.
I'm looking forward to it.
I can't, it makes me cringe, it makes me feel a bit ill. but hey, it's there for you guys. We've also got Professor Tim, of course.
We have got Professor Tim.
IVF what the F.
IVF what the F, and he is talking about DHEA.
Yep.
Which is like a supplement. Indeed. That you can take.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting conversation, because it mainly consists of me reading off a website.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something neither of us really know too much about, to be fair, other than to know it's a little bit controversial.
It is a bit controversial. Cool, that's the business out of the way.
Yeah.
I've got something to talk about.
Oh, hello.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about folic acid versus folate.
Yes.
And we were a bit like, about it.
Yeah.
And we asked people to send in messages.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So we have a listener here from Sydney.
Hi,
Sydney. Sent in a little bit of an explanation about folic acid versus folate. And she says, here's what I've learned in 2 years trying to conceive. For a majority, folic acid is okay, as your body will methylate and turn into its active form. But for others, those with the MTHFR gene mutation, and that is a gene mutation that we didn't talk about because... it's a very long story, but let's just say I was calling it the motherfucker gene.
Yeah.
With the motherfucker gene mutation, folic acid is not okay, as our bodies methylate at a reduced rate and folic acid gets blocked and does not do what it needs for our body or for a pregnancy. Therefore, we must take a supplement with folate in its active form. MTHFR gene mutation C can be detected by a blood test. It's quite well talked about in Australia, but I don't know about the UK. Even our fertility specialist said some specialists don't believe it causes any issue, while others believe it's linked to recurrent miscarriage. Therefore, many naturopaths, not sure I've heard that word before, yeah, and fertility experts, recommend taking a prenatal supplement with folate 5-MTHF to be on the safe side. To confuse matters, there are various types of the MTHFR gene mutation, and the type you have depends on how it affects your body. In Australia, they also add folic acid to all wheat flour, which means I now have to avoid all breads, bagels, pizza bases, pancakes, etc. Although organic flours don't have to add them. And if they do, they have to be listed.
Wow.
Hope this helps. Keep up the amazing work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Thanks, listener from Sydney, who did not give her name.
Yeah.
That's really helpful and a lot of information to absorb.
Just like we need to absorb folates or folic acid.
Indeed.
Which hopefully we are.
Yeah.
Because no one bloody tells you or does a test as to whether you have the mutation or not.
So I would imagine that that would be one for a private clinic.
Yeah.
Or a private doctor.
But shouldn't, like, if it's common...
Yeah.
Should we not all test?
I mean...
Maybe not.
I don't know. It's funny because one of the nutritionists was saying something like 40% of women have this gene mutation, but I'm not sure where she got that information from or how well respected that view is.
Yeah.
So the debate continues. If anyone else wants to talk about it, please. We welcome your
row
feedback.
Row in, guys. Row in.
Absolutely. And in order to contact us... After you've rated and reviewed the podcast,
yes.
You can email us
at bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram, like that lady did,
at bigfatnegative,
and Twitter
at bigfatnegative,
and Facebook
bigfatnegative.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, guys, enjoy.
Please enjoy, and please don't listen if you're in a vulnerable place.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Emma, how have you been?
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. Pregnancy klaxon. FYI. So we're going to do for me first again because your news is way more important and you should save the best things for last, right? Haven't got much to talk about this week. Mainly, it's so funny because we were always just like, oh, people who are pregnant just moan about pregnancy all the time. And it's true. They do. And it pisses me off. Mm-hmm. But I'm not encountering big moans. I'm encountering slight niggles.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them is that none of my clothes fit me anymore.
Yeah.
Or feel comfortable. And this weather has been so shitty that I had kind of planned for the main part of the pregnancy to be when it's warm. Because if you think about the weather last year, it got really warm real early.
That's
and
true.
And then it just stayed like that. And we didn't wear tights for 6 months.
And you were thinking, so if I'm buying Matley maternity clothes, it's just going to be floaty dresses.
Floaty dresses, delicate trousers, that kind of thing. Mm. So I've got a wardrobe full of elasticated, nice trousers and floaty dresses. And I can't bloody wear them. So I'm just wearing literally
because it's fucking freezing.
Because it's fucking freezing all the time. It is supposed to get warmer this week.
I hope so.
And we are recording a week ago, so it was warm. It's difficult to work out, but
yeah,
think about it. And yeah, it's just I'm just having a wardrobe nightmare, Gabs.
Oh, mate.
I know.
Oh, I'm not sorry for you. still not sorry for you.
I guess eagerly awaiting the warm weather.
Yeah.
And then I feel through my pregnancy, I've been people who moan about pregnancy are stupid. People who are woe is me, I'm so weak and delicate are stupid. But actually, it's kind of starting to catch up with me now.
Oh, dear.
So, you can hear me coughing, and that's because of the acid reflux that I've had, which just comes on at 6 p.m. every day without fail. Nice. Whether I've eaten anything bad or not.
Right.
And it just makes me cough, and that's fine. I can deal with that. We can deal with that.
Yeah.
But today I had a bit of a funny turn at work. So I just suddenly, I was sitting at my desk and I suddenly started to feel really have a really bad tummy ache. Mm. And I was sitting there being oh, and I couldn't really leave my desk because I was kind of monitoring something.
Yeah.
Monitoring some wires. And I was waiting for someone to come and take over from me. And when they came and took over, I got up to go and have lunch and I just felt really faint and my heart was pounding and I just was sweating. I was kind of cold sweating. God. And I was just fuck, what is this? What's going on? Mm. So I went downstairs and my office has a nurse, a well-being nurse.
Oh, wow.
And I was is there anybody there here that I can see? Because I just feel... I'm pregnant, I've had a funny turn. And the receptionist was like, it's by appointment only.
And I was What's like, the point of that?
Yeah. So I was like, okay. But she was like, I do have a room that you can lie down in. So I just went and lay down for half an hour. And just like, I found my mum while I was, and she kind of talked me through stuff.
She's a nurse. Yeah.
But I just felt like it was just a kind of weird and scary, and it made me realise that I am beginning to slow down now, and I am beginning, like, pregnancy does actually have an effect on your body. Mm-hmm. And I've been so lucky through it because I haven't really had any proper symptoms at all.
Yeah.
But I am just going to have to slow it down, I think.
Wow.
And then I found a midwife and described it to her, and she was like, it happens sometimes.
Just eat your tracker bar.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, have you got low blood sugar? And I probably, because of the heartburn, I'd been trying to like manage what I'd been eating, which probably meant that I hadn't eaten as much as usual. So I probably did just have a drop off in blood sugar. But right. I think it just made me think that I've got to really think about what's happening now and what, like, and my body, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of been my week, really, like...
Well, that's an important realisation.
Yeah, I mean, I felt a lot more movement this week as well, which has been really exciting.
That's nice.
And that, you know, it's very reassuring as well, because when you're having quite an anxious pregnancy, or when you're quite anxious as a person, generally, you know, I don't have to go for any scans anymore because I know that it's wiggling about in there.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is great, and I feel very lucky to have got to this stage.
Mm.
But... yeah, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that I've all the way through this, I've been like, oh, other pregnant people are stupid.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like...
Lightweights.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm just like, oh, and I'm only 22 weeks. Dear. I've got 18 more weeks to go.
My chickens have come home to roost.
They have. But Gabs, I mean, I've been talking for 5 minutes now and nobody wants to know how my week's been.
Right.
You all right?
Yes. So, you know, because I like to copy you, I did an audio diary of my 2 week wait.
Shall we have a listen?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
So it's the morning of my embryo transfer. It is a gloriously sunny day. The sky is really blue and bright, which is nice. That's filling me with joy. It is also April Fool's Day, which I am trying not to dwell on. But it was Mother's Day yesterday, so I'm going to take the symbolism from the Mother's Day bit, not the full bit, I think. And basically, I've just had breakfast, I've had some muesli and a smoothie from M&S, which has, like, all of the fertility stuff you'd ever want. It's got, like, beetroot, pomegranate, goji berries, blackberry, and it's, like, high in folic acid. So I figure, like, that's got to be a good brew. I am a bit concerned that I've just had muesli as well, which is cold with milk. So now I'm like, oh, if I just put a load of cold stuff in my stomach, which is going to like pull all the heat from my uterus. But I'm going to follow it up with a lemon and ginger tea to counteract it. Bam! Get the heat back in. I am really in quite a positive frame of mind. I'm excited. I've had some messages from friends, which are making me really happy. I've had a lovely card from BFN Emma. And I am just reading the chapter on embryo transfer from Get a Life, His and Hers Guide to IVF, which, of course, we interviewed the author, Richard Magni, a couple of months ago. So just reading that particular chapter, because, to be honest, it's a great book. If you haven't read it and you're doing IVF, I think you should grab it, just because I just duck in every time I'm at a particular stage, and I just read that chapter and it just generally makes me feel a bit better about everything. Not that I'm feeling bad, but it's just quite nice and reassuring. My next challenge is trying to work out what I'm going to wear, because everyone says wear something comfy, but I'm actually thinking about wearing jeans and a jumper. It's the little things, isn't it? So I'm going to work that out now. I'm not going to have a shower because I don't want to put any fresh chemicals on my body. I am also not going to wear any makeup, which is great because I've just woken up with like 2 huge spots. So I'm going to look really fucking ugly when I'm getting this transfer. So that's nice, but I'll just get over it because it's for the greater good. Anyway, it's quite early. I'm going for acupuncture first and then I'm going for the transfer. So I'll check in later.
So I'm just walking home from the station after the embryo transfer. It went really well, I think, basically. We got in there and they said that the embryo was... It defrosted well and still had all of its cells and had started to grow again. And then, yeah, it was good. We just did the transfer, which, to be fair, I kind of forgot what... I got so used to the nice little transvaginal scans that aren't very uncomfortable and forgot what a smear test is like with the old speculum. So that was a little bit uncomfortable, admittedly, but it was fine. And yeah, it's weird watching it happen. Like, it's crazy. Like, you see this little kind of blob kind of... He was like, 3, 2, 1, and then the blob kind of came flying out into my uterus. And it's, yeah, it's quite impressive. So, yeah, I went for a... was desperate for a wee afterwards, so I went straight away for a wee. Had Emma's words in my head, like, you can't poop, you can't wee out an embryo. Can't wee out an embryo. You can't wee out an embryo. And then we've just popped into our local Poncy gardener's shop and bought a little plant. Just to kind of, I don't know, mark the occasion. Maybe it's silly, I don't know. But it's nice. I like buying plants anyway, so why not? A little celebratory plant. So, yeah. Home now for the afternoon to go and chill, I think. Feeling good after the acupuncture. Even though I was actually, like, I got on the wrong train on my way to acupuncture and was 10 minutes late because I had to get off at the next station, get on a different train, like a douchebag. But I kept my cool. And yeah, I've been feeling good all morning, so pretty excited.
Hello there. It is 1DP5DT. Yeah, is that what we're saying? Anyway, it's the day after my transfer. And I'm feeling good. But the head fuck has definitely started to set in. Like, every time I'm kind of... My brain kind of wants to be positive about everything. My other part of my brain just like slaps it down. It's like, no, don't be like that. This isn't going to work. And you're going to be heartbroken. So I'm just kind of like, oh, it's a bit tiring, isn't it? One side of your brain is fighting with the other side of your brain. But I feel fine. Like, I'm just chilling. Yesterday, like, when the catheter went in to my cervix, it was quite sore. Like, I definitely felt a sharp kind of pain. And then later in the evening, I was feeling like kind of little, small, like little shooting pains. Like, not crazy. I didn't need to take painkillers or anything. I just noticed it and I was like, oof, what is that? Some of it, I don't know, I'm a bit paranoid. I don't know what I'm paranoid of. Like, I don't know what potential ailment is wrong with me that I'm trying to imagine. But yeah, again today, like, I can definitely feel little tiny twinges, but I don't know. Like, I just think it's the kind of soreness from yesterday. And yeah, and then so last night I had quite a good sleep, except I woke up and I had like night sweats. And then so obviously this morning I was convinced that I'd boiled the embryo. And I was like, well, no embryo could survive that molten heat. So there's that. That's fun. And yeah, I'm just going to chill, I think. I'm just keeping it cool today. I'm probably going to start looking at work tomorrow, maybe a little bit. I've kind of got this kind of agreement where I said I was off until Thursday, but I might start looking at stuff tomorrow. But I am keeping it all chill and all working from home for the next 2 weeks. If you can hear any jingling, basically I went yesterday to get some new cat food for my cats because they have to get medicated veterinary food because they're fatties. And I bought them some new collars, and I've popped them on and they sound like reindeers. It's like I've got two reindeers in the house, which is, I mean, it must be annoying for them. It's quite annoying for me. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, generally feeling good, up for it. And yeah, just trying to quieten down both sides of my brain, really, just not think about it.
Hello. It is day 3 past my transfer. I've definitely started to experience the whole rollercoaster of emotions thing. Like I went into this thinking, like, because we talk about this so much and because I've heard so many stories and I've, you know, blah, 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 and I've read books and blah, 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 I'm going to be actually, I will be fine. But actually, I've definitely fallen victim to the head fuck. Like, it's just insane. Like, you're just so desperate for a sign. Like, it's, you know, I've read everywhere that the symptom, you don't get symptoms and the symptoms are the drugs and, like, you know, not everyone gets some sort of implantation pain or implantation bleed. But I just, the last 2 days have been just obsessed with the fact that I haven't had any of that. And I'm like, well, clearly it's not worked, which I've kind of climbed down from a bit now, because I know that, you know, you can get no symptoms at all and you be pregnant. So I'm just trying to maintain a kind of level head on that one. But I've definitely kind of been up and down over it. And but yesterday I did some meditation, which really, really helped. I used the Headspace app and I used Mindful IVF app from Gordon Mullins, who we interviewed, ages ago now on the podcast. So I used both of those and I did feel better after it. I felt very relaxed and, you know, I mean, God, who knows if it made a difference. Today I am working from home. I've been off for the last 3 days, just living the life of Riley. So now I'm kind of back doing work, which is good actually, because it's taken my mind off the constant questioning. So that is a good thing. And yeah, I think I'm feeling all right. I'm not feeling as hopeful anymore, and I'm not feeling like I'm in some sort of pit of despair. I'm just kind of like, meh, we'll see, you know, it's either going to work or it isn't. I was talking to my husband about the kind of odds, and because, you know, they say like, oh, what is it, like 30 to 40% chance of success, which I kept in my head, kept guessing, like, there's more chance of it not working than working. We all know that. But he pointed out, like, our odds aren't 40%. It's quite binary. Our odds are either 100% or 0%. It's either going to work or it isn't. So it just depends which side of that fence we're on. It depends on the embryo. And it depends on my uterus, how lovely and squishy and comfy it is. So it's either or. It's either going to work or it's not. So, you know, that kind of makes me feel a bit better, I guess, in some way. But yeah, anyway, it is not much fun, is it? It's a bit of a head fuck. And next Friday feels like ages away. So important update. Obviously, I am working at home and you know, doing lots of very important work whilst also Googling things about the 2-week wait. And I've stumbled across this from Ava, which says, can you feel implantation? And it says, does the process of the embryo burrowing into the uterine wall produce any physical symptoms that you may notice? In a word, no. Even if you're paying close attention to your body and notice little twinges, it's highly unlikely they are related to the implantation process. The embryo is half the size of a dust mite, and you can't feel anything happening in your body at that cellular level any more than you can feel your cells dividing or your hair growing. I'm basically going to print that off and stick it to the wall, because that will hopefully stop me from going over and over again, like, was that a twinge? Did I feel twinges yesterday? That's when it should have implanted. Has it implanted? Well, okay, this is very helpful, and hopefully it'll help the rest of my TWW sisters. Hello there. It is day six. And that means I think today's the day where I could probably get an accurate result if I did a test. I've been looking at Instagram. There's like people who got like positives at day six. People who get positives at day five, but I think day six is the day it really kicks in. And it's Sunday. So strictly speaking, if I wasn't going to do it on my official test day, today would be the day, just because I've got some time to recover if it's bad news and whatever. But I purposely don't have any tests in the house, so I'm not going to do it. Plus, I just think testing Ellie's a bad idea, because then I'll be stuck into this cycle of testing every day for the next week, whatever, and I think it would drive me mad. So I think, although both ways madness lies, I think this is the not testing is the easier route. But in other news, I've decided to make a list of things I'm going to do if it's a negative to make myself feel better. I'm going to do both sides. I'm going to do what I'm going to do if it's positive and what I'm going to do if it's a negative. What I'm going to do if it's positive is probably just smile and be happy. If it's negative, my list is going to include buying an expensive pair of shoes that I've wanted for ages. Yep. Uh-huh. I'm going to do that. I'm going to book a pedicure, because I haven't been painting my nails for the last 6 months, I'd say. Try and avoid the chemicals that are in nail polish, but fuck it, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go for a run, because I haven't been running either. I'm going to go for a run. Most importantly, I'm going to get pissed and get shit-faced. Just for one night. No, probably not just for one night, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to have some nice wine, and that's my comfort list. I think that'll help.
Hello, it is 9DP5DT, 9 days past my transfer, which is officially the day that Emma tested, actually, which kind of makes me some sort of ultimate 2 week weight champion. So I'm doing 2 more days, but actually, can you be a winner when you've got 2 more days of the 2 week wait? Probably not, right? I am feeling fine. It's just like, I don't know, I'm not feeling particularly positive, but it's just like this whole thing of like, when you have your transfer, you've got all of this hope and all of this kind of like, you're carrying your precious cargo, you're being careful, you're thinking about it all the time, you know, you're like speaking to the embryo, but like, you just can't maintain that level of, you know, intensity for 2 weeks. It's just like, I feel like I don't feel special anymore. I don't feel like it's worked. I don't feel anything. I just don't feel anything. And it's a bit depressing. I also feel like everyone is pregnant. Like, I've had 2 pregnancy announcements in my weight so far, and everyone else is pregnant, obviously, that I know. And it just feels like I'm getting further and further back. Like I'm even more left behind than ever before. And it's kind of hard. And I know there's a chance that this has worked. And, you know, God knows, I don't fucking know. But it's hard. It's just everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere I look. Everywhere I look, people are pregnant. And, you know, there's just no escaping it. But yeah, anyway, So I've got 2 more sleeps until I test, and the only real update I have is that I've penciled in one of my best friends to come and get pissed with me on Friday night if it's bad news, which, you know, sounds like whatever, but has given me untold amounts of comfort for some reason. I'm just like, I know that if it's bad news, my great friend is going to come to my house and we're going to drink wine and it's going to be okay. So, I'd recommend that to anyone else in my position. It's, yeah. I mean, maybe not everyone likes wine as much as me, but it, yeah, it has brought me great comfort. Anyway, speak to you soon. Hello. It's the day before test day. I'm in a co-working space, trying to work, and I've just completely lost my shit. I started feeling like periody style cramps, and I've just lost my shit, basically. I'm just sitting here crying. God, it's embarrassing. So yeah,
I thought I was doing so well. I was really doing so well. And now I've just lost my shit. Anyway, we'll see how this goes. I need to try and pull my shit together. See you later.
Hello. It is 5:19 in the morning on test day. So I've just got a little pot of my own urine. And I'm about to open the test. I feel sick. My heart's pounding really fast. I've had a series of stress dreams about it all night. So I just need to do it now. It's horrible. I'm just gonna get it done. I can't believe it. It's the second line. I'm pregnant. Oh my god. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. I don't know what to do. Oh, my heart's pounding. It's amazing. I'm gonna go.
Mate.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
thanks.
You all right? How are you doing?
I mean, I think I'm still in shock, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sorry to everyone about that really breathy, quite disgusting audio there towards the end.
It's raw. It's raw and emotional.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I'm fucking great. Like, I can't believe my luck. Like, I can't believe it's happened. It's like, I feel so lucky.
Of course.
And yeah, I'm just huge, huge relief.
Yeah.
Had a really nice weekend. Just kind of being.
Popped down to Brighton
for a night in a hotel. And listeners to the show will know how much I like to Google things, including like baby clothes and all of those things. And so basically on Friday when I did the test, I kind of let myself kind of go for it, really. I unleashed the Google monster that's been basically slapped down and not allowed to look at anything for the past, god, it feels like 2 years.
It is 2 years, mate.
And so yeah, and I did that, and then I have to admit that very shortly after that the fucking fear set in.
I take full responsibility for that and I apologize.
Fuck you, fucking fear. I honestly, when we did that pregnancy episode and you guys were talking about it, and I was just like, I was nodding along, but in my head I was like, nah, if it happens to me, I'm just going to be fucking happy and that's it.
And a Zen goddess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I rang the clinic to tell the clinic, and they were like, and I was like, oh, you know, so this is how much drugs I've got. So I'll probably, you know, if I'm going to be taking them for 12 weeks, I'll need X amount. And the person was like, we'll give you drugs up until your scan, and then, you know, if the scan's all good, then we'll give you the rest of the drugs for the 12 weeks. And I was just like, oh god, yeah, I suppose you're right, don't want to waste the drugs.
Oh, on the god
girl who gets to her 7 week scan and doesn't see anything.
You can give them back.
I know. Oh, anyway, whatever. But that was kind of like it was already in the back of my head, but that was kind of like a stark reminder.
Jesus.
And but you know what, like, you know, I've managed to kind of pull it back, and I'm trying to just enjoy the moment, I guess. I've got a scan booked in about 2 weeks.
Fuck.
I know. So, yeah, I think the scan anxiety will be real.
Of course it will be.
I've done three tests now. I did the one...
Oh my God, yeah, let's talk about that. I got a text from Gabby.
I did one Friday morning, obviously, which is my official test day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did one... I bought a cheap one on my way to Brighton from Superdrug for like $2.99 or something stupid. And I did it on Sunday morning in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, nothing appeared on the test. like no lines.
So not even a control line?
Not even a control line, no lines at all, which is, thank God, because that obviously indicated that it hadn't worked, but still.
Oh like, my God.
Not getting anything on the test was just like, oh.
You texted me and my heart stopped.
Yeah.
I told John and he went, fuck! Like that. He was like, "This here's what you tell her."
Yeah, I think you thought that there was a control line, yeah, there was no second line, but there wasn't any line. So I didn't really panic, to be honest. I kind of knew it hadn't worked, but it did freak me out a little bit. And so I went home, when I got back from Brighton, obviously went and did my fancy test, my first response fancy test. And yeah, luckily enough, that was a nice, nice strong line again. I can't, it feels weird even saying it out loud. I can't, it's just a bit of a shock, really.
Today you are pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the mantra, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
have you kept your test? I kept it on my dressing table for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I keep looking at it.
Yeah.
All the time. Just so, because, I mean, well, you know this, mm-hmm, and I'm sure lots of our listeners do, but like, when you've never seen one before.
It's such a novelty.
When you first see one, it's just kind of like, huh? What? So yeah, I just keep, looking at it.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
I know. Oh, I know. It is exciting, but I am scared.
Yeah, of course it's really scary. And the worst thing is that because you make this podcast, you know all the stats,
exactly,
you know all the numbers.
Yeah.
But you've been going on, there's a really good website called Miscarriage Odds Reassurer.
Mm, yeah.
Which
been
you can
on that.
Google. And that's, has that given you a percentage?
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, that's good, I guess. But yeah, I think the thing is, like, you know, we do know all the stories, you know, friends of ours,
yeah,
like people we know really well,
yeah,
people in the community that we follow and we, you know, care about deeply have had this happen and then had it go wrong. So it's very hard to kind of just completely embrace it and, you know, Google everything.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we've told quite a few people because when we're so open about IVF, everyone knew that we were doing it, and everyone,
yeah,
a lot of people knew when the test day was. So you you end up telling people, and then kind of instantly, kind of thinking, God, I hope this doesn't go wrong.
Am I jinxing it?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Am I jinxing this? Should I not be saying this to people? You know, it's all of that.
It's very hard to know. My thought was always, if it does go wrong, I want people to. No,
well,
so that
absolutely.
They know what's wrong with me.
That's exactly, that's the thing, isn't it? And that's why I've been so comfortable with sharing everything all along, is that because, you know, I do think that people should talk about it when it goes wrong so that others know.
Yeah.
But when it's you and you're like, oh, just, yeah, so many people would know.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I mean, yeah, as I say, I just, I'm so fucking grateful. I'm so just, yeah. Amazed. I'm just amazed.
Well, it's like Kat said on that on our pregnancy podcast, like, you are where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've jumped another hurdle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the last hurdle, but it's another hurdle.
Precisely that, yeah. I think it's, I think speaking to everyone that we've spoken to, there are so many mantras now that I can kind of go through in my head and kind of make myself calm down off the ledge when I'm having one of those moments. But yeah, I mean, you know, the overarching emotion is just joy.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just happiness.
Amazing.
But we should probably say, we know that this impacts the podcast.
This is an infertility podcast.
Significantly.
Yeah.
And we are going to have a think about what to do.
Yeah.
And maybe come with some options for what you guys think we should do.
For next week.
I mean, the reality is this could go wrong. So
yeah,
we're not going to stop yet.
Yeah. I mean, in the short term, we're definitely going to keep talking. You know, we're going to keep on with this segment at least.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking about ourselves because, you know, we're narcissistic like that. But yeah, I think we need to have a serious conversation.
Yeah. We want to keep doing the podcast because we love it. And we know it helps lots of others as much as it's helped us. So we will endeavour to continue. It's just we will probably have to consider the format.
Yeah. But, mate,
You're pregnant.
I know. Today.
Today you're pregnant.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
IVF.
What the F?
What the F?
What the F?
Yeah.
Today we're talking about something with which neither of us have any personal experience.
No.
Yes.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No. DHEA.
Yeah.
Heard of that?
I have, yeah.
I first heard about it when we spoke to Katia and Oscar in episode 12. And I know it's episode 12 because I was talking to someone about it today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I found out about it as well,
yeah.
I imagine, because I definitely haven't come across it in my adventures in infertility and clinics.
So I think it's occasionally used on people with low...
Ovarian reserve. Yeah.
And Gabby is now going to try and pronounce it.
Ooh, fun game. Hormone dehydropiandrosterone.
It's very good that we've got Professor Tim to explain what it is, isn't it? So it's a hormone that's naturally produced by your body in the adrenal gland.
Ooh, nice.
Here's the science bit.
Tell me more.
In turn, it helps to produce other hormones, including testosterone and estrogen, according to a page on the Mayo Clinic site.
And so estrogen and testosterone are probably quite important in the fertility process.
Yes, in the production of children.
Yes.
Also, this website also says that there's research suggesting it has anti-aging properties.
Oh, yeah, you can just take it to stay young forever.
Yes.
Which we'll all be doing.
Yeah, it's the, what's it called? The something of youth. The
Fountain of Youth?
It's the Fountain of Youth.
Wow.
Like
that witch in Star, what's it called?
Like any fairy tale?
Yeah, like a witch.
Yeah, like a witch in a fairy tale. It's also, there's some research suggesting it might be effective at treating depression and osteoporosis and something called vaginal atrophy, which I'm not going to look into because I don't like the sound of it.
So you might get multiple kickbacks for taking it then?
Yes, but on this page, again, it's a website, it suggests that actually taking it, well, not under medical supervision might be a bit dodgy.
Okay.
Because it can... Basically, they point out it's a hormone. Use of it might increase levels of androgen and have a steroid effect. It might also increase the risk of hormone-sensitive cancers, including prostate, breast, and ovarian cancers.
Mm.
So, okay. And also it says it might worsen psychiatric disorders. So I'm just going to say, like, speak to your doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just, like, suddenly
start taking it. Yeah, I mean, it is controversial, isn't it? I think that's what... That's all I kind of knew about DHEA, was that it was controversial.
But it looks like you can just buy it online if you just want to buy it.
Yeah.
Which is dodgy.
Well, I think Zeta West has got a DHEA supplement you can buy online.
Okay. Well, I'd say consult with your doctor first.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's what Professor Tim had to say.
So DHEA is a supplement, so it's not a drug. The fact it's not a drug means it's not being properly tested in pharmaceutical company funded trials. And as it's a supplement, the studies on it are pretty limited. DHEA is a mild androgen, so it's a very mild sort of male hormone. that you can buy off the internet. And some poor quality small studies have suggested that women with a low ovarian reserve, so low numbers of eggs in their ovaries, if they take DHEA at a dose of 75 milligrams per day by mouth for probably 10 to 12 weeks before an IVF egg collection, that this may improve the number of eggs collected. Again, the studies are poor quality, so we don't know for sure whether there's an improvement, but there does seem to be a trend in that direction. There doesn't really appear to be an improvement in egg quality. This is more about egg number. And importantly, the studies don't show that there are more babies born from this. So it may be that you get a few more eggs, but whether that results in a higher live birth rate, no one really knows.
Thanks, Professor Tim. It's the end.
Eighth podcast.
What a big episode for you.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that's not too hard to listen to, is my main hope. Sorry everyone if that is.
Do you know what, it's really weird sitting across from you going through the exact same thing that I was going through 16 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really weird. And I'm making the same faces at you that you made at me.
Yeah.
At that time.
It's yeah, it's hard because, you know, we do this podcast and it's about infertility. And we've both, well, I mean, gosh, I'm only at the first hurdle as discussed. But, you know, it's a strange world when you have success.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know it. They've got these mixed feelings because all of these new friends that you've made, you feel like maybe they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Which is not nice because I love all the people we've met.
Yeah, absolutely. But they haven't abandoned me.
No. No. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, so.
Yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.